You may be seated. Well, it is a wonderful prayer. O come, Emmanuel. Yeah, thank you, Ajay. The themes have been strong and rich. The little teaching on Advent, you and Meredith, Pastor Mike, the decorations, it kind of gets you going in the mood. You know, I love it today as much as I did when I was just a little kid, and that's that moment when the tree, as our whole family for some reason needed, there were five kids, and so we all needed to participate in decorating this kind of sparse, ugly, found on some lonely hill in Saskatchewan kind of tree. But we, you know what, we'd decorate the thing and then we'd turn all the lights off in the house and sit there and just look at it. Any of you do that now? Okay, only two of you. All right. We did it again just Friday. A little early for us to have the tree up because it's a real tree, which, by the way, has been an ongoing conversation for Karen. 25 years, oh no, how long have we been married? 47 years. And I have not made any progress on this, so I will take any help. If there's another angle that I need to take, email me, call me, I'll take your calls on this. I have not won the discussion. Honey, it's okay. I'm glad to put up the real tree. But we sat there, and we've got a family now that's some of our kids living with us, and we just all sat there and looked at it, and it was wonderful. Of course, it's not about the tree, is it, the Christmas celebration? But that tree is really important, and I kind of want to just highlight the tree or the trees that are up here today as a way of kind of thinking about that now through the Advent season. Because from the very cries of the birth of Jesus there in that lonely, humble place, Jesus is on a journey toward a tree, right? And it's not the tree, the pretty tree with the lights and the ornaments and everything that, you know, sits in your great room or your living room or your family room, whatever it is. But because this tree was raised up outside of the walls of Jerusalem on a hill of torture and crucifixion. But Jesus walked toward the tree. And it comes into our homes as the cross. How important is that? The Advent story is so beautiful, it'll take your breath away. Because now, here it is, as Ajay and Meredith set it up. It's certainly remembering the Old Testament longing for the coming of the Christ, the Messiah. And that was wrapped up in all kinds of themes. There were political themes in that. But there was this longing for the return. Do it again, Lord, the people would say through the prophets. Do it again. But now there is this longing that we have. We're still waiting. We're longing. Come again, Lord Jesus. Right? We pray it. So through this Advent season, I want to encourage you, like every time you turn the tree on, remember that, yes, it in a way is about the trees that we erect at this Christmas season and light with the light of the world. But remember, it is about the journey toward the tree, which became that place of sacrifice, of salvation, of atonement, and of victorious resurrection, which we want to talk about today. So through this Advent season, we're looking at, again, four words that kind of let us hang things on. Hope. Next week, joy. Peace. Love. So I want to look at a text. It's a New Testament text today, 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter frames this hope, the story of hope, in a wonderful way. Read this. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never spoil or fade. The tomb could not hold the living, breathing, scarred, but victorious body of Jesus. This man who claimed to be God, who committed no sin, who died before hostile crowds, but he was resurrected and appearing again just days later, and he bore the wounds of that tree, of that cross, but he demonstrated a power and a victory over it. And Peter says, thanks be to God for this amazing story, because it gives us a living hope. I want to say to you today that hope is anchored, absolutely anchored, in the resurrection of Jesus. It's essential to the hope that we have. Now, here's the deal. You have trouble hoping. I'm quite sure of that. I do. I had to identify again just yesterday. I don't know. I don't want to talk about this word hope just kind of out of my head. Father, do I really hope right now? You see, if you're just hoping for something, you are on an up and down ride. You know, you can hope for a lot of things. I hope we have children. I hope I can, you know, get a good education. I hope that, I'll do well in whatever career I choose. Whatever it is, I hope that he or she will say yes and we can get married. I don't know what your hope is. But that can be up and down when you hope for things, and we should. But let me tell you what is your anchor. Your anchor is to hope in. Remember that. It's in a person. It's anchored in Jesus. Peter says, look, the living hope comes out of the resurrection, which is about this amazing story about the life of Jesus. And when we hope in Jesus, then what we hope for is somehow shaped by this foundation that we stand on called the hope of the resurrection. You're going to be tempted to assess God's faithfulness to deliver you by your current hope for something. I don't know. It just seems like everything I hope for, pray for, call out to God for, doesn't seem to happen. I don't know. It's not happening. And so I give up. I don't want to hope anymore. But when you hope in Jesus, then the things you hope for, you know, they will be up and down. You will be disappointed. You'll be surprised. You'll be excited. You'll be delighted. You will be pained. You'll go up and down. But your hoping in Jesus is what brings the anchor to the hope that we need today. That's absolutely imperative for us to have today. As painful and heartbreaking as some of the days have been and will be and will continue to be, God is big and strong and wise and merciful and present. He was there at the cross, and he was bringing about his plan to save us and secure our hope forever. That's what hope in Jesus provides for us. Listen to this quote, R.C. Sproul. Hope is called the anchor of the soul because it gives stability to the Christian life. That's what we need. Not just bouncing around with our hope for things. We need stability. But hope is not simply a wish. I wish that such and such would take place. Rather, it is that which latches onto the certainty of the promises of the future that God has made. Church, hope in Jesus, not just for the things that are in your heart for life. Amen? Yeah. So every time you turn on the Christmas tree, remember the tree. Because it's the tree that really is the tree of hope, the cross. That's our foundation. That's our anchor point. We hope in Jesus, who has given us eternal life. Well, Peter goes on to say that our hope is secured in heaven forever. It's an inheritance of salvation, and it's locked up, he says, in the bank vault of heaven, guarded against by every good liar who might try to swindle it away from us. Did you ever watch the movie Good Liar? Yeah, I thought you might catch that little play on words that I was throwing in here. And we are assured that God's power is guarding us so that someday we will enjoy our inheritance. Listen to these words. Again, continuing in 1 Peter chapter 1. And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is already to be revealed in the last time. Peter says that our salvation is an inheritance kept in heaven for us. Now you, from time to time, will wonder, am I really a follower of Christ? Like, is eternal life really actually God's promise that I can count on? And you're inevitably measuring it based on, what's going on in your life. You're measuring it based on, do I feel like I'm following God? Do I feel like I experience God in my heart? And so it's all about those experiences. And again, you if you're anchoring to that, you will never really feel certain. But our assurance of salvation that Peter is offering us here, our hope with a certainty, is based on what God has done, not what I have done. Peter, in fact, he actually describes what it is not so that he can kind of describe what it is. He says, it will never perish. He means that our salvation is free from death and decay. So our salvation is secured in heaven forever and it will never perish. Any human inheritance is subject to both death and decay. I may die before I can obtain the inheritance, or I may die after I've received it and not be able to enjoy it. It'll never perish. It will never spoil, which means that it's free from all of the moral impurities and uncleanness of every kind, every earthly inheritance. It's complicated, right? Think about families, wealthy families, where there's an inheritance, or even not so wealthy families, but there's a conflict over this inheritance of the family when the parents are gone. And people are not talking to each other, and they're going to court to try to solve it. And you just go, oh my goodness, I don't want it. Well, this inheritance, it'll never spoil. It's not going to be impure or unclean in any way because God has more than enough for all of us. It's an inheritance, he says, that will never fade. It's free from the decline of time. Earthly inheritances get used up as time goes on, and eventually a lot of people squander the inheritance. It's gone, but God's riches are inexhaustible, and through eternity, we will never get to the bottom of all that he's provided for us who are in Christ. His riches are reserved in heaven for us, and nothing can diminish or destroy what God himself has determined to give us. Our inheritance is kept in heaven. The word is protected. It's the image, it's a military kind of image. It's like there's a garrison of soldiers that are standing around. Well, in this case, what God has is his own power. It's God's power that protects the inheritance, the promise of our salvation. You don't need to wonder whether you are a believer or whether you will receive your full reward, your inheritance of eternal life at the end of your life. It is locked up in the vault of heaven. You are secure. Amen. All right? Thank you, Jesus. And I just want to say that. It's not based on your behavior. It's based on what God has done. Well, listen, this provides hope. I want to move on to say that our hope is refined in the heartbreaks of life. If I didn't say this, it would be disingenuous. If you're a part of doing the Life Challenge, which those notes are, you can find on our website if you go to Life Groups, and I think it's under that. We write them for Life Groups, but you can use it. And in there, I've given a couple of links, a couple of articles that I read in preparation for this, and I thought, you know, I can't really include this, but just some really good thoughts about those who have had hope through really hard stuff in life. And I would just refer you to that. I didn't bring those links to put up on the screen today. But, you know, hope can be actually a dangerous thing because, again, we've said that many people don't have hope. They've given up on hope because, you know, they've been disappointed. Stuff doesn't happen. Life doesn't come together the way they want it. And so they've lost their hope for the future, and despair has replaced joy. Fear replaces faith. Anxiety replaces prayer. Insecurity replaces confidence. And tomorrow's dreams are replaced by today's nightmares. I say it's a lousy way to live. Listen to what Peter says, verse 6. In all this, you greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials, these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus is revealed. Peter has actually written this first letter to Christians that are persecuted, that are suffering. And since following Jesus, they have not found that peace and safety and prosperity has been their experience. And he's writing to them to encourage them. They're experiencing trials of every kind, he says in verse 6. They're suffering on every page of the book. And maybe that's kind of part of where you think we're at. I mean, there's plenty of things going on right now in the world, right? I mean, it's raining again today. Oh, my goodness. People are being evacuated. People from our church are being evacuated today. Again. All kinds of trials. If you're a follower of Christ, this life may not be easy or comfortable, but it will be real and full and lasting. God says, follow Jesus and you will find inexpressible and glorious joy, because despite the real, hard, bitter, heartbreaking, even excruciating moments of whatever life presents to you, hope means hoping when things are hopeless, G.K. Chesterton said. Or it is no virtue at all. As long as matters are really hopeful, hope is mere flattery or a platitude. It is only when everything is hopeless that hope begins to be a strength. The first note Peter strikes in this whole text is one of praise. Blessed be the life-giving, death-defying, overpowering power of God, of incredible mercy to us. If you and I believe and follow Jesus, we will face difficult things. But praise be to God, Peter says, that in it all, that we have experienced the life that God has given to us in Jesus. And in this, we have hope. Catherine Marshall said, God is the only one who can make the valley of trouble the doorway of hope. So, folks, hope this Advent. When you turn the light up the tree on, you're not hoping for things. You're hoping in someone. His name is Jesus. You know, my prayer for you, if you're online, you're watching, perhaps you've not known Jesus in any personal way, I want to invite you to consider the invitation that God has given to us in Christ, that we will believe that this is true and that we will decide to follow Jesus. That's true for any of us here. Through this Advent season, maybe this is your moment to say yes to Jesus. I ask you, I implore you to do that. But certainly for all of us who have made that decision, the invitation now is to make this hope living. I don't think you can experience real hope in all that we've talked about today if it's not going to be living. You got to do it in life. So let me offer you a couple of concluding nudges towards hope through the Advent season. Hope will move you forward. Christian hope is a realistic expectation of and joyful longing for the future good and glory based upon the reliable word of God. The more we long for the future, the less we yearn for the past. Hope deletes the regrets of our lives, and it underlines expectation. It diminishes the drag that we can feel as we walk through the challenges of life. It moves us forward. Hope energizes the view of what's going on around us. It's worth living today because the eternal tomorrow continues to be brighter than today. What is a catastrophe today, what is a crisis today and the floods that we're experiencing is salvation tomorrow. And what we dread in the past, we will desire and long for in the future that God has provided for us. Hope will energize our view of what's going on around us. Hope does bring light into the darkness. It does not deny or remove the reality of painful circumstances, but hope does shine like a bright light into these valleys and points to Christ who is present with us through everything. Hope increases faith. It fuels hope and it increases faith. They're very closely tied together. The one energizes the other. Without faith, we cannot soar in hope. Without hope, we cannot live our lives by faith. The greatest believers are the greatest hopers. And the greatest hopers are the greatest believers. It increases faith. Hope inspires people. Just as we can uninspire people, drag people down when we're kind of negative, we got a negative posture. If we are filled not just with positivity, but with hope in Christ, it influences. People pay attention. They take note of it. They take encouragement from what gives us hope. And lastly, I want to say that hope will begin healing in your heart. Depression is a sense of hopelessness. I've been there. I've experienced it. It's a belief that things cannot and will not get better. But I want to give you hope that you will get better if you are experiencing depression, that you will come through this, that you will find a healing that God will bring over the long term in your life. There is a way out. There are things that can be done to help you today. So I say again today, make your Advent conversation about the tree. But not just the tree that sits in our homes. Every time we turn on the lights of the beautiful tree in our great room, talk about how the baby in the manger came to be everything that we celebrate in what this tree represents. Jesus went to the tree to take the sin of the world upon himself and to give us salvation, which will be our hope. Remind yourself and your family that in a world darkened by sin and conflict and tragedy all over the place, that the tree of the sacrifice of salvation shines as the light of eternal hope that will never, ever go out. Will you bow with me in prayer? And so, Lord Jesus, we've talked about hope, and we acknowledge again today that our hope can only find a foundation in you. So may we together agree that this Advent season, we will hope in Jesus. May there be people today who are listening who will say yes to you and trust you for salvation, for healing, for a reshaping and a reordering of their lives. May that be, Lord. And may people today who have been following you find again that their hope can be living, that it will be lived out in such a way that it moves them forward, lived out in such a way that it makes sense out of everything that's going on around us, lived out in such a way that others see it and are somehow captivated and encouraged and inspired by the hope they see in our hearts. May it be a hope that heals our hearts, and our relationships, and our families, and our workplaces, and our schools. Jesus, you are the hope of the world. And this Advent season, we take great delight in placing our hope firmly upon you. And may that now shed in every part of our lives the light of Jesus. So we pray this in your name. Amen.